Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. We are in the book of Corinthians, the second chapter. And for our text verse, we're going to read verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today and all the many blessings, Lord. We're just thankful for the sunshine and your son Jesus and our health, all the things you've done for us. And Lord, those that are not with us, those that are traveling, those that are ill, Lord, bring them back their much needed and wanted health. Father, as we turn our thoughts to your word, Lord, just open our hearts and minds that we may be receptive to the things you'd have us to know, Lord, that we may be better servants for you. Lord, ask you forgive me of the sins I've committed against thee. Ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are coming to the last. I have one more sermon in this series, kind of big picture overview. Children of God, what we shall be. So this is future. This is our glorification, and we'll talk about that a little more next week. So we have talked about things that have changed when we were saved, those 18 things as to what we were when we're saved. We're no longer those things, lost, sinners, dead in sin. So these all change when we're saved. This is what we were. And then we have the 21 things to what we are that God changes us, Jesus changes us when we're saved, redeemed, born again, child of God, and there's 21 things there in that list. And then we have been talking in the last few weeks about children of God, what we should be, the sanctification part. Our living our life, our obedience for him. And the first part we talked about is what we should be, our character. And then we also talked about what we should do, our actions. This morning we're going to be considering six things that we as saved people shall be after we pass on to glory. These are future things that we will experience. We shall be changed, we shall be risen, we shall be like Jesus, we shall be forever with the Lord, we shall be rewarded if we're found faithful, and if we're not found faithful, we're still going to be saved, still going to be in heaven, still going to be a good thing, but God wants us to be faithful and he'll reward us for that. And then the last thing, what we shall be, all this will be done by our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at each one of these this morning. But first, as I like the text verse, our text was verse 9, right? But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So these future things. Verse 7 talks about the wisdom, this mystery, these things that the church has said to be a mystery to many. People don't see it. Even many saved people don't see the church as Jesus taught his church. But it goes on there, the hidden things, it says, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, this thing about glory, there is justification, sanctification, and glorification. I'm going to talk about that specifically next week. And I have not yet experienced the glory that God has for me. This physical body is going to change, and you put those together, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, and the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God has this great thing. Salvation is good, But salvation is just the beginning. Salvation and our life that we live here prepares us for eternity, those things that God has for us in the future. And this verse 9 is actually a prophecy from Isaiah 64:4. And it's interesting. It's almost word for word, but it's stated just slightly different. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither hath I seen, O God, besides thee. What he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. It's interesting, in Isaiah 64, verse 4, it says, what God has prepared for those that wait, right? One of the things that we are to be is patient, right? Waiting for the Lord. And then when it's stated in Corinthians, the church at Corinth, it says God has prepared for them that love him. Now, is there a difference in loving and waiting? Someone who loves God, I think, will wait for him. When Joyce and I, before we got married, I asked her to marry me, and then I said, wait. So I went to school for a little while, and then we got married. She waited because she loved me, right? And so the two kind of go hand in hand. I can see how in the New Testament it is interpreted loved. In the Old Testament, what were they doing? What were they waiting for? The Messiah, right? Now that we get to the New Testament, the Messiah has come. We're no longer having to wait. The Messiah has come. We can experience, we can love the Messiah. So I think it's kind of interesting there, the word choice, waiting for him. It waits for us, and that we are to be patient, and we are also to love the Lord. So we're going to look at six things that are yet future for us as children of God. What we shall be. We shall be risen. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 15 talks about the rapture, right? What's going to happen when Jesus comes back. Jesus came the first time as Messiah. He's going to come back the second time as Lord and as King. I believe this happens at the beginning of the tribulation. And we look at our world today and people ask, well, what does this have to do with the Bible? And it has everything to do with the Bible. God is preparing the world. When I was growing up and young in the ministry in the 70s and 80s, I thought, there's nothing else that has to be fulfilled for Jesus to come. And there really wasn't. But now it's even more so, right? The Bible implores us to be ready for Jesus coming, to have a relationship with him, and to be obedient for him. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. So when the Lord comes, us that are alive, right, we will not prevent them which are asleep. So they were struggling sometimes with what's going to happen to those who are dead. The issue was the glorification, the glorified body. And Paul says, you don't have to worry about that. And that's why the last one, the point I'm going to have, is all this is done by Jesus. I don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. It's not for the church to do. God's going to take care of all of this. All those that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or hinder them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of our archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. And then, as it goes on, we'll use that verse a little later, and then we shall be caught up in the air with him. So we are going to be risen. If we are dead, literally risen, and if we're alive, we're going to be changed and risen, taken up to be ever with the Lord. And that second thing is that change? 1 Corinthians 15, I got a couple of different verses, 49, 51 through 52, and 58. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. So this is flesh. Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. This is flesh. This is corruptible. The corruption has to put on incorruption. It's going to change. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We're not all going to die. Some are going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye, in the moment of twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Right? He talked about that. And we won't prevent them, those that have died, and to be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This physical body is going to look different. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we're going to be risen. We're going to be changed. Changed to what? What are we going to look like? What is that? That's what we want to know. What is heaven going to be like? What are we going to be like? I don't know. The Bible gives just a glimpse. John writes this, and verse 1 he says, I write unto you that you sin not, and if we sin, you have an advocate with the Father. And then in verse 2 says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Right? We're children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, we don't have a full comprehension of what this change is going to be. We know we're going to change. We know it's going to be from corruption to incorruption. It's going to be from the flesh to the glorified. But he says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Now, what does that mean? We shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Every man, we'll stop there. We shall be like him. Well, Jesus, after he died, was raised again, and he had a glorified body. It was a physical body, and there were some things he was able to do when he was in his glorified body. One of the things, when the disciples were in the upper room, it appeared that space and time doesn't limit the glorified body. Jesus just happened to be there in the room, and the doors were locked, and the doors were closed. Jesus went up, and when he met them up in Galilee, he cooked fish, and it says that he ate. So it appears that the physical body, this spiritual body, can, I don't believe it has to have nourishment. It's interesting. It's going to look different, even though it says in 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to be known as we are known, and we're going to know each other, I think, in the relationships that we have known. There's not going to be marriage and giving in marriage, but I'm going to know Joyce as my wife, but that she was my wife, right? But those are going to be different. And they saw Jesus, and yet they didn't always recognize him, right? The two disciples on the road to Emmaus seem to have been people who have traveled with Jesus, that knew Jesus, and he walked with them for a long time, and then all of a sudden he turned on their spiritual eyes, if you will, and they're like, aha, you're Jesus, and then he's gone. And so here's the thing, we shall be like him, glorified. The corruption shall put on incorruption. So anything that our body that has been corrupted by sin is going to be incorruptible. Wrinkles, gray hair, aging, I don't know. Can I pick the age in which I'm at? Is it when I die? I don't know. So it's interesting, he says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I have a lot of questions about what I shall be, right? But this fact, I know we shall be like Jesus as he was glorified. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us he was the first fruits. He was the first of the resurrection to be glorified, and then everyone else will be like him. And that's kind of what we know. And then it goes on and says, and every man that has this hope in him, right, that we're going to be changed, that we're going to be risen, that we're going to be like him, this hope that we have purified, we live up to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, even as he is pure, right? We want to be, if we're going to be like Jesus for eternity, shouldn't we be like him here on earth? Shouldn't we live up to that expectation of what he's going to do for us in our flesh to take the corruption and make it incorruptible? So shouldn't we take this sinful life, the mind that can choose sin or can choose obedience, shouldn't, instead of choose corruption, we should choose incorruption or choose that which is pure? We should purify ourselves. And that literally talks about sanctification. So next week, I'm going to try to tie these all together in a big picture. We will be, risen, we'll be changed, we'll be like Jesus. And then it goes on and tells us we'll be forever with the Lord. Philippians 1:23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, Paul says, and to be with Christ, which is far better. You know, here on earth, it's a struggle. Hebrews, I think it's the fourth chapter, says, there remaineth a rest unto the child of God. And it goes on and says, but this isn't it. In this life, it says we're going to suffer, we're going to struggle, we're going to have to make choices to be obedient. Some of those are going to be really, really hard. And Paul says, I would like to be gone, but I have a responsibility here to you, and to be with Christ, which is better. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk not by faith but by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is far better, right? So if we are absent, if my soul and spirit depart from this physical body, right, I will immediately, knowing Jesus Christ my personal Savior, be present with the Lord. That is the promise we have. And once we die with the Lord, or resurrected be with the Lord, there are that promise to be forever with him. In my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus said. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I believe this is specifically to his church, but all saved people are going to be with Christ in heaven. And I understand that in the when we get to the end of Revelation and after the millennial reign, we go into eternity and there's the new heaven and the new earth, right? And then we are here on this earth. But wherever we are forever with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and here is the remainder of those verses, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Those that are already dead are going to be risen. We are caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever, right, be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So this concept of what we shall be, these future things, remember what it said in John, that these things should move us to be pure, to try to be like Jesus. And here it says these future things should cause us to be comforted and to comfort one another with these words, that this isn't all there is in this life and death isn't all there is, that there is a future coming. Now when I pass from this life is to be present with the Lord, but we're also going to have the glorified body also. And the fifth thing that I want to talk about this morning is what we shall be, and that is, we'll be rewarded if we are found faithful. And that is a choice that we make, whether or not we want to be obedient or not, and serve the Lord. That is our choice. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12 through 15, it talks about the judgment that we as children of God, we're all going to stand. If you're a saved child of God, you're going to stand before Jesus at the great right throne judgment. 1 Corinthians 5 tells us that at this judgment for all the saved, we're going to have to give an account for all we've done, whether it be good or bad. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, talks about this judgment in this context. If any man build upon this foundation good gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. So it compares this judgment to fire. And if you take wood, hay, stubble, and if you put fire to it, what's going to happen? It's not going to stay, right? It's going to go away. But what happens if you put fire to gold, silver, precious stone? Well, it actually purifies it, right? It's not going to hurt it. And so that is what remains. The fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. So if any man's work abide, that is our work that is compared to our obedience, that is compared to gold, silver, precious stone, then if that is the kind of service, the kind of obedience we've had, we will receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, his obedience, he will suffer the loss, meaning we will not have that. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. So here's the thing. Even though I have served the Lord and I don't, it doesn't meet God's expectation, I'm still saved. We cannot lose our salvation. Salvation is not by work. Salvation is what God gives us. It is a gift. But God, in our salvation, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created unto or for the purpose of good works. No saved person is made to not be obedient to God. Matter of fact, I think we will be miserable because the Holy Spirit will convict us and tell us that we're not being obedient. Obedience is a choice, and if we choose to be obedient, build upon the right foundation. Now, I can't do whatever I want, right? I have to do it according to God's plan. There's going to be people who come, and in Matthew it says people come to Jesus and said, Lord, Lord, look at all we've done. He says, depart. I don't even know. I don't even have a relationship, right? So it's not what I want done. Jesus, not even Jesus did what he wanted. He said, I am come to do the will of the Father. And that should be our prayer. Jesus says, when you pray, pray, right, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If Jesus, in obedience, has to do or gets to do the will of God, that is our purpose, to be obedient, to do the will of God, and then we will have the opportunity to receive reward. Romans 8, verse 17 and 18, and if heirs, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer. That's a qualifier, right? That we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so this heirship, I think, is part of the rewards. Now, I don't have time. It would be multiple sermons to talk of the kinds of different rewards that there are. Some of the rewards, one of them is going to be Jesus is going to select a bride from his church, and we see that Paul talks about it in Revelation, the marriage of the marriage of the Lamb, and that is an obedience thing, and that is going to be selected from his church, those who are obedient from his church, those who are invited to the marriage of the Lamb, and his bride is going to have a special relationship with him, and made up inside, I think, that bride, there's going to be other relationship rewards, kings, priests, judges, it talks about, and probably other rewards that we can't even comprehend. The other kind of tangible rewards that it talks about is crowns, and there's five crowns. Again, that's a whole sermon in of itself, but there's five different crowns. There's a crown for being martyred for the cause of Christ. There's crowns for the ministry. There's crowns for witnessing. I keep banging something. But there's these rewards we're going to get if we are found faithful, if it's that gold, silver, precious stone, acceptable service unto God. Now, it's kind of interesting when we get these. You ever seen somebody who's accomplished a lot? Maybe a basketball player, a football player, and it's kind of like, you know, and they're being rewarded, and it's kind of like, you know, what they have done, it becomes about them. What's kind of interesting, our reward isn't going to be about us. It's really about Jesus, and we really see this in the giving of the crowns. And in Revelation, the fourth chapter, we know the crowns have already been given here. And it's kind of interesting. It talks about some of the people who are there, the 24 elders, the 4 and 20, which are 24 elders. For me, that is the church and the 12 tribes. That is the faithful of the church and the faithful of Israel. Is what I think is going on here, represented in 24 elders. But whoever you think they are, that really isn't relevant to what the point I want to make. But the 4 and 20 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne. They're going to worship, and worshiped him that lived forever and ever. But here's the thing. Those that get crowns, right, what do we do with them? I think that's really fascinating. See, it's not about me. See, if I got some reward in this life, it's about what I've accomplished, right? But we've talked about in our obedience the things we should do. We do that by the power of God, right? It's by what he does through us. And we're going to take all this glory that we get, and we're going to say, no, it's really the glory of the Lord. And we're going to take those crowns, and we're going to cast them before the throne of God. And who's there in the center of the throne, who John is going to end up seeing? The Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And so there's so many things we talk about, all the rewards. Here's the thing. What we shall be if we are found faithful, God wants to reward us if we do it in obedience to him. And then the last thing that I want to talk about this morning is what shall be, and what shall be for us will all be done by our Savior Jesus Christ. And so it's not by my power, it's not by my ability, it's by the power, the ability of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, 21, 20 through 21, for our conversation, our citizenship, right? That's really what it's talking about. My home is not here on this earth. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. My eternal home is going to be in heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. I should act like a citizen of heaven. From whence we look for the Savior, we look for him to come back for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, right? We don't know, right? What did John say? it does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know. And here Paul is writing, who shall change our vile bodies that it's going to be like his. We don't know what we'll be, but we shall be like him, like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And eventually he will conquer everything. He'll be the conquering king. And verse 21 there says, who shall change? Who does all this? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's going to make all of this future stuff. He's made my salvation possible. Everything here on earth, taking care of me, so of what I can be and what I can do in obedience and providing for me every day. He does that. And if he does that, he'll also provide for me in the future what I and what you and what we shall be. The last verse I want us to look at this morning is, what does our future, what does your future look like? Peter says this, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So he's talking about what God has done for us. God the Father, talked about in Sunday school, Brother David, the Trinity, and one God, but those three persons. And boy, it's hard to understand those three persons, that one God, but they all play a different part, and yet they're all God. And it talks about the Father and what he did by our Lord Jesus Christ. He, right, God, his mercy begotten us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to give us a lively hope, to make us alive, to have a relationship with him. And here is our future, that if we do what he wants us to, inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. God has a plan for you. God has so much in store for you, not just in this life, but for all eternity, incorruptible, undefiled, that will never go away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, I put money in the bank and it goes away. Well, I spend it, right? But boy, this future investment that we do in Jesus Christ, it never goes away. Reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God has done so much for us through and by Jesus Christ, and he wants to continue to do for us what we were, what we are, what we should be, what we should do, and what we shall be. God is so good. He takes care of every aspect of our being and our life in our relationship with him. How are you doing in your relationship with God? What does your future look like? First of all, are you going to spend eternity with God? Do you know Jesus Christ? Second of all, are you going to be obedient? You're going to be part of the bride. You're going to be, that's going to be taken from the church. So you got to be part of the Lord's church. Are you going to have some of those rewards, crowns, kings, priests, what was the other one? Judges. What does God have reserved for you that fadeth not away, that we need to be obedient to him so that he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Pianist and song leader, come, let's all stand. It is exciting to look and see and to remind ourselves all that God has done for us in the past, all that God is doing for us in the present, and all that God will do for us in the future. How are you doing in your relationship with God? What page you got for us?